Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
During Tuesday's show, I mentioned how the Major League Soccer champions Seattle Sounders had never defeated the Houston Dynamo on their home field in Texas. Well, after five losses and four draws in Houston, the 10th match proved to be lucky for the Sounders. They defeated the host Dynamo on Tuesday night, 2-0 in the first leg of the MLS Western Conference Final. Swedish midfielder Gustav Svensson opened the scoring in the 11th minute when he knocked in a thundering header off a nicely placed corner kick from Uruguayan teammate Nicolas Ladero. Will Bruin added another goal in the 42nd minute for the Sounders, who are now in great position to advance to their second consecutive MLS Cup final on December 9th. The Sounders will host the decisive second leg against the Dynamo on November 30th at their CenturyLink Field in Seattle, Washington. Meanwhile, in the MLS Eastern Conference Final, Toronto FC and the host Columbus Crew played to a scoreless draw on Tuesday night. The second leg in that series will be November 29th at Toronto's BMO Field. Now let's go to Nicosia on the island of Cyprus, where defending European champion Real Madrid has advanced again to the Champions League knockout stage. The Spanish football powerhouse pounded host APOEL 6-0 on Tuesday in a Group H match. Portuguese superstar Cristiano Ronaldo had two second-half goals for Real, and Frenchman Karim Benzema also had two goals. Croatian star Luka Modric opened the scoring for Real Madrid in the 23rd minute, and the Spaniard Nacho had the other goal in the 41st minute. Top of the table, Tottenham Hotspur had already booked a place in the knockout phase before their road match against Borussia Dortmund in Germany. The Spurs rallied from a goal down to beat Dortmund 2-1. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, the 2015 African Footballer of the Year from Gabon, put Dortmund in front 1-0 with a goal in the 31st minute. Harry Kane got the equalizer for Tottenham in the 49th minute. And then the South Korean Sun Heung-min got the game winner in the 76th minute. At the post-match news conference, Tottenham's Argentine manager, Mauricio Pochettino, had this to say.
Yes, I think we are all very happy about the performance and the result. It was great, the reaction after the first half, because we didn't deserve to lose the game, because it was an even game. Maybe a little bit more for us, some chances, but, you know, I think the reaction and the help of the Harry Kane goal early on the beginning of the second half, I think the team started to play very comfortable, be comfortable on the pitch, and I think it's fantastic for us, fantastic achievement, first top on the table, qualify for the next stage in Champions League. I think it's a great news for us.
Now let's go to Group E and the results from Tuesday. The Slovenian club Maribor and host Spartak Moscow drew 1-1 in Russia. And in Spain, Sevilla and visiting Liverpool played to a 3-3 draw. The Reds of Liverpool looked ready to book their place in the last 16 as they led Sevilla by 3 goals at halftime. The Brazilian Firmino had 2 of the goals, and Senegalese star Sadio Mane had the other. But Sevilla pulled off a remarkable second-half comeback. Frenchman Ben Yedder had 2 goals, and the Argentine Guido Pizarro got the equalizer in injury time. Now Liverpool can't afford to lose to Spartak Moscow at Anfield next month. The Group E standings. Liverpool tops the table with 9 points from 5 matches. Sevilla has 8 points. Spartak Moscow has 6 points. And Maribor, with 2 points, has been eliminated. Turning to Group F, top of the table, Manchester City remain perfect with 5 victories in 5 matches, beating the visiting Dutch club Feyenoord 1-0 on a goal by Raheem Sterling in the 88th minute. In the other group match, Italy's Napoli beat Shakhtar Donetsk of Ukraine 3-0. Both teams will have to wait until the final group match day on December 6th to see which one joins group winner Man City in the next round. Finally, in Group G, the Turkish club Besiktas reached the knockout stage for the first time in the UEFA Champions League with a 1-1 draw against Portugal's Porto in Istanbul. Also in Group G, last season's semi-finalist Monaco crashed out after losing to Germany's Leipzig 4-1. Leipzig and Porto each have 7 points from 5 matches, and one of them will join Besiktas in the last 16 after the final group matches on December 6th. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, we'll hear from world welterweight boxing champion Keith Thurman of the United States. So keep on the sunny side.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa program. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In pro boxing, undefeated welterweight champion Keith Thurman is looking forward to getting back in the ring in 2018 after being sidelined since April because of elbow surgery. Thurman will celebrate his 29th birthday on Thursday, the Thanksgiving holiday here in the United States. And while he fought only once in 2017, Thurman does have reason to be thankful. He beat fellow American Danny Garcia by split decision in March to take Garcia's WBC championship belt and keep his own WBA title. And in June, Keith Thurman had a highlight outside of the boxing ring. He married his girlfriend, Priyana Thapa, in her native country of Nepal. Thurman had the surgery in April after suffering severe right elbow pain during his victory over Garcia in New York City. Reporter Jonah Haskell was ringside for the fight at Barclays Center Arena in Brooklyn. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2017, let's listen in again to Jonah's post-fight report.
Boxing has a new unified welterweight champion after WBA belt holder Keith one-time Thurman defeated WBC title holder Danny Garcia in a split decision in Brooklyn, New York. Thurman remains undefeated, moving his career record to an impressive 28-0, and he was beaming with pride after the fight.
I love the world of boxing. This is what I've loved ever since I was a kid. And it was an honor and a blessing to be a part of boxing history today and to have a tremendous world champion like Danny Garcia as my opponent.
Thurman came out aggressively, taking the first couple of rounds before Garcia was able to get his bearings. But the southpaw wasn't fazed, and by the third round, he began to land a few big punches of his own.
You know, I expected that. I expected him to come in there and box, try to load up on some big punches. You know, I'm a slow starter, so he probably tried to jump on me early, but he landed a couple clean shots. You know, I took the shots good, and I came back.
But Garcia's comeback was slow in materializing, as one time continued to hold the upper hand and looked to have a comfortable lead at the midway point. As the fight went on, though, Thurman seemed to tire, dropping to a more defensive stance while the record-breaking crowd of over 16,000 got behind Garcia and cheered him forward. Danny responded, bringing back his normally accurate counterpunches that had been missing in the early rounds and impressing his adversary as Thurman complimented him post-fight.
He had technique, man. He had technique, but I had superior technique, and I was able to read his technique, you know, but ultimately it comes down to who lands the most punches, who's the most accurate.
Thurman did indeed land the most punches, 147 to Garcia's 130, but Garcia was the more accurate fighter on the night, connecting 30% of the time compared to Thurman's 26% clip. Those numbers, combined with Garcia's improvement in the later rounds as Thurman began to fade, made the decision a close one, with two judges scoring the win for one time and one giving the victory to Danny. Garcia, whose record drops to 33-1, was understandably upset after the loss, as he thought he had done enough to earn the win.
I thought it was close, and that's why the last four rounds I just put the pressure on him and tried to throw punches and cut the ring off. And that's why I thought I won the fight, because I closed the fight off like a true champion.
But if anyone thought that Danny was going to dwell on the loss, he dispelled those fears quickly.
It is what it is. You know, true champions bounce back. I take my defeats like I take my wins. You know, it's a learning experience. And it is what it is. What can I say?
Keith Thurman definitely had a lot to say after the fight as he basked in the limelight and savored having come out on top after another tough contest.
This is my job. This is my dreams. This is what I'm here for. I'm here for the challenge. And Danny Garcia did challenge me today. But I passed. I passed. He did not pass the Keith Thurman test.
It remains to be seen who will be the next to take the Keith Thurman test or if anyone will pass it. But one thing is for sure. The newly minted unified welterweight champion is enjoying himself on the way to greatness.
Legendary Winky Wright. It's one simple line he says all the time. Do you and have fun. We had fun tonight. That's what it was all about.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Jonah Haskell in New York. Back to Sonny Young in Washington.
The promoter for World Boxing Organization heavyweight champion Joseph Parker says he's made a final offer for a fight against WBA, IBF, and IBO champ Anthony Joshua in a unification title bout in 2018. Parker's promoter, David Higgins, says, and I quote, "We have gone from 50 to 40 to 35% of the net profit, and we're willing to take the fight next. It's our final bottom line decision. We feel anything less is disrespectful or a disgrace." Both Parker and Joshua are undefeated in the professional ranks. Parker is 24-0, and Joshua is 20-0. Higgins also said recently, if a deal can't be worked out to fight Anthony Joshua, WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder could be a future opponent.
Wilder's also an option. Now, Kemp did have some communication with Wilder. And again, if the Wilder crew put the right amount of money on the table, and we do talk to Al Heyman and Lou DiBella, if they put the right amount of money on the table, we'd segue that way and go Wilder instead of Joshua. So I guess, and Eddie should understand all of this, and if he puts a fair and reasonable deal on the table, then we might be in business.
That's David Higgins, the promoter for World Boxing Organization heavyweight champion Joseph Parker, and he was speaking in Auckland, New Zealand. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, we'll hear from the VOA social media reporter, Andrew Palcheski.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOASunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOASunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. Joining us once again on the show is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you, although not physically with you there in Studio 22. I am up in New York visiting my family for Thanksgiving. But with the marvels of technology, I am joining you remotely and happy to talk about trending topics as always.
The marvels of technology. I love the way you worded that, Andrew. Well, as we get ready for Thanksgiving, what is trending in the sports world on this Wednesday?
Well, the big story trending today is unfortunately a rather sad and unfortunate one. It involves U.S. Women's gymnastics and a number of allegations levied against the U.S. women's gymnastics team doctor, Dr. Larry Nassar, who is accused of sexually abusing a number of gymnasts over his years as the team doctor. And two of the big names in American gymnastics in recent years are involved in this story in different ways. First, Allie Raisman, she came out earlier this month and said that she was a victim of Larry Nassar, speaking out publicly for the first time about the abuse that she had suffered. And then in response to that, one of her teammates, Gabby Douglas, of course, the gold medal winning gymnast, came out and said that women and girls should dress modestly and be more classy to avoid that kind of abuse. Now, Gabby Douglas, after she made those comments, got a lot of pushback on social media. People saying that it shouldn't be that you blame the victim. It's always the person who perpetrates these crimes that's at fault, not the victims for how they dress or act. And Gabby Douglas did come out and apologize and said that her words were misconstrued. Well, about a week after that apology, we get word now from Gabby Douglas that she was actually also one of Larry Nassar's victims. She said she was conditioned to stay silent, and that was why she never spoke out. She apologizes again for her words and says that she wishes she could have spoken out earlier, like Allie Raisman did. But as you know, as we've talked about on the show time and time again, unfortunately, just as we're seeing this wave of accusations of sexual harassment and assault coming in the United States from some high-profile figures being accused of those actions, we're seeing that too in the sports world. And sadly, women's gymnastics is one of those instances where there is a lot of abuse because these girls are with their coaches or doctors or team officials for long hours at a time on the road. So we're seeing these two names, Gabby Douglas and Allie Raisman, trending because they're speaking out. Now, as this is all going on, Larry Nassar, that team doctor, has pled guilty to molesting girls in the gymnastics program, some as young as 13 years old. Allie Raisman was actually live tweeting the court proceedings as he was pled guilty and to those charges. But this is something that is getting a lot of attention. And if there's any good that comes out of this, it's that it will hopefully never happen again and be controlled and really scrutinized now. Something that has gone on so pervasively for so long is finally being addressed.
Andrew, I would imagine that USA Gymnastics will be implementing some types of reforms in terms of oversight of the coaches with these very young athletes.
Absolutely. And not just U.S. gymnastics. This is unfortunately a worldwide pervasive problem. We've seen accounts on social media from gymnasts in the Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union from the years ago who have said that their coaches or even their male teammates were their abusers. So I think that, yes, the U.S. gymnastics program will certainly put into place some reforms, but I think worldwide we're going to see gymnastics as a whole of a sport really crack down on this and put in some reforms to make sure that this systemic problem is addressed.
Well, Andrew, on a happier note, Thanksgiving, a time when Americans like yourself gather with their families and partake of food and sporting events. What will be on your Thanksgiving Day platter, Andrew?
All of the traditional great Thanksgiving foods. You got to have turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes. I'm quite a fan of Brussels sprouts, even though people turn up their nose at Brussels sprouts. If done right and you roast them, they come out really good. So I'm looking forward to that. And you know, it's Thanksgiving is a holiday in America where it is a big sports holiday. A lot of people are going to be watching the football games tomorrow. I know that in the New York area, there's particular interest in the New York Giants facing off against the Washington Redskins. But a lot of families, too, will go out and just, you know, toss around the football. They'll play touch football games. A lot of friends that haven't seen each other in a number of years who are traveling back home will go out and, you know, kick around the football and toss around the football. So there's a lot of sports connection to Thanksgiving as you get people together. And especially when the weather holds out, it's a good time to get outdoors, maybe work off some of that holiday food that everybody's partaking in.
One athletic endeavor that Americans sometimes participate on Thanksgiving, those annual Thanksgiving Day road races, Andrew, those turkey trots where distance runners test their endurance over various course lengths, could be 5 kilometers, maybe 10 kilometers, but a good way, even if you walk the course, Andrew, to maybe feel a little less guilty when that big turkey shows up in front on your table.
Yes, it's a bit of strategy to pre-exercise and pre-work off those holiday goodies that you have. So I know that in my hometown in New York, there will be a turkey trot tomorrow. I will be cheering from the sidelines. I'm unfortunately very out of practice as far as my running is concerned, but I will be there to cheer on folks getting up very early in very chilly temperatures here in New York to do that road race. But you're right, Sonny. It is a good way to get out, get some physical activity before you sit down at the dinner table.
Well, we have about a minute left in the program, Andrew. Anything else of a sporting nature trending on this Wednesday?
Well, I'll briefly touch on the story we've been talking about all week, and only briefly because it has been a story all week, and frankly, I and a lot of people, I think, are getting sick of it. It's Donald Trump versus LeVar Ball. Of course, LeVar Ball, the son of father of LiAngelo Ball, one of the UCLA players who was in China. Donald Trump tweeting again, saying that he's not getting the credit for bringing these players home. He called LeVar Ball a poor man's version of Don King, referring to the boxing promoter. He said that if not for Trump, LeVar Ball could have spent Thanksgiving with his son in China. So the war of words continues between those two unabated. And Trump is not just talking about LeVar Ball. He's also still talking about the National Football League, saying that players should be suspended if they don't go out for the national anthem. The NFL is considering a proposal to have teams stay in the locker room for the national anthem instead of going out to the field. Trump has said he's very against that. A lot of fans say that might be a good solution to put an end to the protest and kind of bring everybody together. But so far, perhaps the most famous football fan in the country, Donald Trump, is not on board with that. So we'll have to see if Commissioner Roger Goodell can change his mind or if they'll have to find another solution.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Happy Thanksgiving, Andrew, and enjoy those roasted Brussels sprouts.
Thank you, Sonny. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
And that wraps up the November 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Cornelius Tenner. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
For too long, Somalis have suffered an unceasing campaign of terrorist violence. Since the beginning of the year, terrorists have perpetrated over 40 attacks of terrorism using armed suicide assaults, truck bombs, and remotely detonated improvised explosive devices in Mogadishu alone. And then, in mid-October, the most devastating attack in Somali history took place. On October 14th, the streets of Mogadishu's Hodan district were jam-packed with traffic and bystanders when a truck loaded with explosives detonated, killing at least 400 people and wounding hundreds of others. Shortly thereafter, a second, smaller explosion, believed to have been part of a coordinated plot with the first attack, took place across town. The attack was our 9/11, said General Bashir Abdi Mohammed, the deputy commissioner of the Somali police force. No Somali was untouched. The Somali public, outraged by the brazen attack on innocent civilians, have voiced their demand for peace and justice in their country. One element working to turn the tide in Somalia's fight against terrorism is its joint investigative teams, elite Somali police force units that investigate terrorist attacks and gather evidence to identify the perpetrators and prosecute them. Set up with the help of the U.S. Department of State in 2014, they have responded to over 250 major incidents, systematically collecting and analyzing evidence that has been used to identify terrorist perpetrators, their networks, and bring them to justice. Through their hard work and dedication, the joint investigative teams are changing the public's perception of the police. The joint investigative teams are poised to take on one of Somalia's most pressing problems, that is, effectively preventing terrorist attacks. This means that the next step, said Deputy Police Commissioner Mohammed, is to become increasingly proactive with a police force that is capable of detecting and disrupting plots before they are executed. The United States is proud to have had a hand in the formation of these police units, and we will continue to support their efforts to further build critical counterterrorism capabilities. We stand with the people and the government of Somalia in their commitment to defeating terrorism, ensuring the security of their people, and rebuilding their country. We look forward to continuing our cooperation on these and other issues.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I am Shaka Sali. Join me on Straight Talk Africa every Wednesday as we discuss topics of special interest to Africans, including politics, economic development, press freedom, health, social issues, and conflict resolution. Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 17:30 UTC
right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.